behalf of Chris's family, I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. This is supposed to be a memorial. It is supposed to be a time of reflection. At least that's what they tell me it's supposed to be. What it is a celebration. I encourage you to laugh. I encourage you to cry. I encourage you to share stories. And with that, at one point during the service here, I'm going to open up the floor for that opportunity for you to share stories. I would really hope that you would keep them somewhat appropriate, as there are a few kids in the audience. My name is Pastor Mark. It is an honor for me to be here this morning. You will find that I find joy in levity. I find peace and comfort knowing that a sense of humor sends us through our lives. In dying, Christ destroyed our death, and in rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Christ put on Christ, so in Christ, Christ may be baptized and clothed in glory. Here now, dear friends, we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Those who have this hope purify themselves in Christ. Friends, we've gathered here today to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate Chris's life. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow we find hope, and in death we find resurrection. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially this morning, we praise you for Chris, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace and help us so to believe that where we have not yet seen, that your presence may lead us through our years. And bring us at last with Him into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens through Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning we have three songs we're going to hear, listen to. I encourage you to sing along with them. Our first one is entitled, Lead Me Home.
Lead me home. Take my hand, Lord, lead me home.
The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11 tells us, there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them in, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain by from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to the end. In the book of Psalms, number 23, we recite this together. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The rod and their staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, John tells us, in the words of Jesus himself, let not your hearts be troubled, but believe in God, and believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. The journey of getting to know Chris was one I didn't expect to be as much fun as it was. I found in Chris someone I think I could have spent a lot of time with. Someone who shared the same sensibilities, the same simpleness in life, the need to be. And John, it tells us that that there's a house and many rooms, and Christ prepares a place for us to go. But those that knew Chris would know he wouldn't want to be inside anyway. If you could find him a nice quiet lake, some place to fish, woods where he could go out and spend time. It is often said that you need to be in church to know God, to know Christ, but from one outdoorsman to another, I'm here to tell you, I find God in the woods more often than I find him in churches. I find Christ in those times, those moments when I'm there, out there together. And I have to believe that he felt the same way. Chris was a man of integrity and few words. When he spoke, he said what he meant, and he meant what he said, whether you liked it or not. In this short time since his passing, a lot of emotion may have gone through. Why so early? Why so young? Why take on someone as wonderful, as meaningful, as important to you, and take him so young? I've been a pastor for over 20 years, and in every meeting, and let me tell you, I hate meetings, but in every meeting, there's always a thing at the end, and we call it unfinished business. The stuff that kind of gets tabled from meeting to meeting. The stuff that never really seems to get solved. It never really seems to get dealt with. Chris left us with unfinished business. He left us with things to do. He left us with fish to catch. He left us with mushrooms to find. He left us with kids to raise, to love, see them grow. He left us way too soon. He left us, but he didn't leave us alone. Inside each and every one of you is a moment in time that you will always remember him by. Whether it was something he said, a catchphrase, whether it was a look he gave you, whatever that was, whatever it was, a shared moment, that will always live inside of you. It is said that human beings can die two times. Once when their body leaves this earth, and the second time when their stories are no longer told. We don't have control over that first time. We can't fix or hold off or stay away that first time. When it is simply time. But there is good news, because we have control over that second time. So long as you tell the story, so long as his name is uttered, so long as you see pictures of him, so long as he is remembered in you, he never truly leaves each and every one of us. He left a mark on each and every one of you. You're all here this morning to pay homage, to mourn his passing, to give comfort to the family. But you're here also this morning to remember the gifts that he gave you. Some of the stories you can't tell. Some of them may not be good. Some of the best stories from my childhood are things I would never tell my kids. But that's okay. Those are the stories that made up our lives. When we stand to mourn someone, it is easy to pick out all the good in that person. And I'm not saying there wasn't. There was lots. But some of the stories are going to be painful. Some of those memories not so pleasant. But they're still a part of that story. We tend to focus on the ones that make us laugh, the ones that bring us comfort. And I truly believe that's by intention. Because that's what we want to remember. Chris would not appreciate the attention. He'd rather have a few close friends and time to himself. Words I've heard him described over and over were resilient and strong. And as he fought his battle, those characteristics came to forefront in his life. But the one word I heard over and over again was stubborn. And I'm almost trying to wonder where he got that from. Wouldn't have been his mother, would it? Absolutely not. But with strength and resilience comes stubborn. Because you need that. It's what helps you hold yourself together. No matter how bad it got, he would never ask for help. No matter how difficult it was, he would find a way. He had faith in himself. Never wanted to burden another person. Never wanted to be a burden upon anyone. There is strength in that. There is a lesson we can take from him. When you recall the memories of your time, when the stories come back, I encourage you to share them aloud. We're going to have an opportunity after this service to gather together to share a meal. Be a wonderful time. In just a few moments, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you want to come up here or if you want to stand at your seat and share a quick story or a memory, encourage you. Please do. Because this is how Chris is going to live on in us. His brother Terry asked if I would read something. Please remember, these are his words. I'll read them as he wrote them. Brotherly love. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone speaking. However, this is not about me. This is about my brother Chris. Even though we're only 18 months apart in age, he has been my twin our whole lives. We lost our father at a young age, and that made us stronger as a family. Even though we did not talk on the phone or text often, when it did happen, it had a purpose. We had each other's back. The competitiveness among us was strong. Even though I whooped his ass as a younger age, he came back with a vengeance. Last 30 years, he was tough to beat at all levels. I lost a brother, and I lost a friend. I've always said in life, things happen for a reason. And also, God will take you where and when he wants you. Heaven gained a brother. Our last words to each other were, until next time. I love you, Chris. Until next time. Couldn't have said it better myself. Don't say goodbye today. Until next time. This time I'd like to invite anyone, please. Absolutely.
My name is Clint Swope, and I have the honor of reading this on behalf of my fiancée, Heather Champeau. I would like to say a few things about my brother, Chris. Growing up with three younger brothers had its challenges. When I was two, my brother, Terry, was born. I embraced being a big sister, which meant I was his boss, telling him what to do, how to dress, what to eat. Terry, you know what I'm talking about. Terry was easy. He pretty much went with the flow. And then 18 months later, my brother Chris was born. Chris didn't know that his role as my little brother was to obey everything I said. He definitely never got with the program. It had a mind of his own from the very beginning. He could be mischievous and a definite instigator. He had a way of getting under my skin. Like the time him and I and Terry were in the back seat of my grandma Champeau's Cadillac, and he kept poking me in the ribs with his finger. I kept telling him to knock it off and kept warning him, if he did it again, he would be in a hurt. Well, of course, he did it again, and of course, I was the one that got in trouble for punching him. Chris wasn't going to do something just because his big sister told him to. As he got older, that quality stayed with him. He lived life like he wanted. He became a dad at a young age, and I was really proud of him in the way he stepped into that role. I can't say I would have handled becoming a mom that young just as well. He loved his kids more than anything. We didn't talk much. Chris was a man of few words. We would be sitting in a room together for 8 hours, and he may say three things to me. But he was present. He showed up. He never let people see in. He kept his emotions to himself, stoic to a fault, but I know he loved his family. All the baseball games, tennis matches, golf matches, he showed up. Towards the end, he wasn't always feeling the best, but again, he showed up. Chris was a tough guy, didn't complain about what was happening to him, didn't want people to feel sorry for him. I know it was hard for him to be out and in a crowd of people, but he wanted to be a part of Zach's wedding, and again, he showed up. The joy he got from being around family, watching his kids grow up, he didn't have to talk about it. You could see it in his face. Elise, Carson, Brandon, don't let his lack of words or his tough exterior make you doubt his love for you. He was proud of you.
said it, but to me and him, our arguments about who kid was going to grow taller, be better, he showed. And he always there if I needed a hand. Wonderful guy. And this right here just shows how many people loved it. Thanks.
Yes, sir.
Two were zipping up and back with that thing, and they didn't know I was watching. I was either getting ready to harvest hay, and I was up in the barn, and I opened the hole, and here them two were sailing across the field. They either hit a furrow or a stone, I don't know. I know TJ's got his way of saying it, but both of them were on that same vehicle, and they disappeared underneath the hay, and you just seen them guys throw the hay off them, tip up the bike, and drove home. Well, they were scratched up, and I don't know what they told their mother, but TJ knows the story. And then later in the fall or winter, there was ice and a harrow I left out in the fields. They tried to hook onto that by doing this, you know. They were having fun.
Wonderful memories. Any others this morning? If not, we're going to hear our next song entitled Scars in Heaven.
If I had only known the last time would be the last time, I would have put off all the things I had to do. I would have stayed a little longer, held on a little tighter. Now what I'd give for one more day with you. There's a wound here in my heart where something's missing, and they tell me that it's gonna heal with time. But I know you're in a place where all your wounds have been erased, and knowing yours are healed is healing mine. The only scars in heaven, it won't be to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven are on the hands that hold you now. I know the road you walked was anything but easy. You picked up your share of scars along the way. Oh, but now you're standing in the sun. You fought your fight and your race is run. The pain is all a million miles away. The only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken, and all the old will be made new. And the thought that makes me smile now, even as the tears fall down, There's not a day goes by that I don't see you. You live on in all the better parts of me. Until I'm standing with you in the sun, I'll fight this fight and this race I'll run. Until I finally see what you can see. Oh, the only scars in heaven, they won't belong to me and you. There'll be no such thing as broken. All the old will be made new, and the thought that makes me smile now, and even as the tears fall down, is that the only scars in heaven, or on the hands that hold you now?
Into your hands we commend your son Chris, in sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you for those who we love but see no more. Receive them into your arms. Receive into your arms our brother Chris, and grant him then increasing in knowledge and in love of you, he may go from strength to strength in service of your heavenly kingdom through Christ our Lord. Eternal God, you have shared with us Chris's life. Before he was ours, now he is yours. For all that he has given us to make us what we are, for all that of him that lives in each and grows in each of us, and for his life that in your love will never end, we give you thanks and we offer Chris back into your arms. Comfort us in our loneliness. Strengthen us in our weakness. Give us courage to face one another and face the world unafraid. Draw those of us who remain in this life closer to one another. Make us faithful to serve one another. And give us to know that peace and joy, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ. If you'll join with me in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our final song, much to your chagrin, is not Jimi Hendrix. But we're going to listen to it now.
When I die. Never been a sinner, I never sinned.
To meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face, and may the rains fall softly upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Our service here this morning has concluded. I invite you to come forward and greet the family. There is a meal that is prepared for you. We're all invited. If you head down through that door and down the stairs onto the first level, it is in the fellowship hall waiting for you. With that being said, I'd like to just take one moment and say grace. So when you do get down there, please go ahead and get started eating. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you so much that you shared Chris with us for as long as you did. I ask you bless our time together, that you bring those memories to forefront, that we get to tell the stories that will keep him alive in us. Lord, I ask you bless the food that we're going to eat. Let it nourish our bodies as your word nourishes our souls. And let our conversation be pleasing in your sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for coming.